kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
As I thought, the Lord would have us to continue with what we were looking at on Sunday, and that is the nature of fear. So this is part two. And as some of you expressed, you were challenged, the Lord spoken into your life, and that is good, because we know sometimes there are certain things within teaching that God addresses that is important for us. And we need to go all out with what God is saying, because it might not possibly come round again. And so we cannot miss any opportunities that God reveals through the Word, because always remember that whatever God reveals, what he brings through the teaching and preaching, if he brings certain things up, then it is for a reason. It's not just to converse and talk about, or maybe that's a good idea. We have the Holy Spirit, the unction, the anointing that's leading, teaching and guiding us. And so we need to hear when he addresses certain things, because this can be the hour, this can be the moment of your healing and your deliverance. So we never ever put these things to one side or procrastinate, or I'll deal with it tomorrow, because of course tomorrow never comes. So we continue with our second part, the nature of fear. I'm not going over all that again, because it's all on our website if you want to go over it again. But I want to look at more the scriptures today that are dealing with fear, or addressing fear in whatever way, and the hindrances. And we looked at some of these hindrances to fears, and how that God is working with us through the power of the Spirit, in which to close in our minds to these fears. And when we talk about closing our mind or closing the door, sometimes that closing of the door means that you have to rebuke the enemy. I was reminded of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and the enemy actually came and vocally spoke to him. But of course, he was trying to appeal to his mind. That's where he was trying to attack with our Lord. And our Lord came back with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That is what kept his mind sound and holy upon God. And what you are going to find is, as these fears are dealt with by the Spirit of God, you may find that you will be tested, but what you will find is that you will be able to come against what is being suggested to you with the Word of God, with the blood of the Lamb, whereas you were before paralyzed, or you were not in faith for that. So they are often the signs of deliverance. It's not always a power from on high that's going to strike you and put you on the floor for 10 minutes. No, we're told that faith comes by hearing the Word. And in that faith is healing, deliverance, salvation. That is how God is choosing to do it in these last days. God has really, really been emphasizing this to me, why he's been saying this for so many years now, because that is our healing in that. And if a gift or the gifts want to operate with regard to our hearing, then it will happen. It will happen. But none of those gifts come into operation unless we hear by faith and appropriate by faith. And it is the same with the closing of those doors with fear, because that's what we're looking at with regard to our minds. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 13 to 16. Again, you know these scriptures well, but we always find when we go over them, there's always something more to learn and to glean from them. 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll take it up from verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So there is the point that I'm stressing. The Holy Spirit, the unction of the anointing, this is what he's speaking about. He teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So it is spiritual what God is doing with us. We understand the things of the Spirit, not of the flesh. God does not minister to the flesh. It is always spiritual, to the Spirit, to the new man. And he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So all that God gives to us is spiritually discerned. You discern it. You listen, you test it, you know that that is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, ministering, speaking to me. That is how we know. That is how we get faith. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that is our confession. That is what we believe. That is in our prayers. And we have the mind of Christ. We have to have that mind if ever we are to get deliverance, change of mind and thinking. Or in other words, the mind being reprogrammed, worked upon. So we have the mind of Christ. Why is it that we have the mind of Christ? Because we have Christ now living in us. And we forget that his mind is living in us, in you and me. Not just his love, his Spirit. All of that is important, the power of his Spirit, wherever he takes us or leads us, but also I have his mind. I have that sound mind in Jesus' name. And this is where your deliverance starts, when you start believing and confessing these promises. That is a promise there. That is what I have received through the new birth. And we will only get deliverance from fears as we are spirit taught, which can only communicate to the new man or to the Spirit. You're never going to get deliverance in anything, and certainly not from fear, unless the Spirit teaches us. Because it comes by revelation or by the Spirit. And this is absolutely essential for us to get these healings and deliverances. For example, we know in Romans 8 and verse 9, in Romans 8 verse 9, you know this well, but it says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So the apostle here is testing something. He's now talking about those who walk by faith, who walk by the Spirit. In other words, he's saying you are spirit taught. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this. It cannot teach you this. Only the Spirit of God can deliver and teach you and so forth. And he then raises that question. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And the enemy will try and counterfeit that. We sadly have people in the house of God, but they are not hearing by the Spirit, or there is a lot of hindrances. And this is why God is delivering us, and certainly in the area of fear, so that we experience being spirit taught. That is where the devil attacks. He fears saints who are spirit taught by the anointing. And that's why he would try to hold the mind in fear, in oppression, and so forth, to hinder you, because he knows this is where he loses hold. He can't hold you any longer. He can't hold you with what he paralyzes the world with. Hallelujah. And God always communicates to the new man, the new birth, the new heart. That heart that is being changed from stone to flesh. That is where he communicates. And we have to be in faith to receive that working that he does. And he says he does it by you hearing the word. This is how we get our deliverance, for that to be fulfilled in us, so that we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And what does it say in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it goes on about being obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lusts as in your ignorance. So again, he's talking about your new Christ. You now walk by faith. And he's saying, gird up the loins of your mind. We could in many ways say that what we are addressing through these two teachings is all about us girding the loins of our mind. And he says, this is sober. This isn't something that is flippant or something you just think about or try or whatever it is. He says, be sober and rest, hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it is the grace and mercy of God that brings this revelation of who? Jesus Christ, the one whom we put his mind on. We have his mind. And he says, this is a sober work. In other words, this is very serious what we are talking about and dealing with. Because this will close the door to demonic oppression. And we're dealing, of course, with fear. Look at the hope that we have in this word, the promises. And he says that his grace is with us. My grace is sufficient. Some of us may have had a battle this last 2 days, 3 days, over these teachings. The enemy has really tried to put the pressure on, which is a good sign. God's about to do a work of deliverance. And you feel you can't take any more. And God says, my grace is sufficient. I'm in control. I'm bringing about that deliverance in your mind. Hallelujah. What does it also say in 2 Timothy? Now, I know we looked at this last time, but we need to look at it again. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So that is what he has given us. That is in the new birth. That is what you received when you became a new creation. Now you may say to me, I haven't always experienced the power, the love, and certainly a sound mind, because we are a work in progress. We are in deliverance. We are in deliverance right now, where we are before God, as we are hearing what the Spirit is saying. And he's working this so that we experience this of power. Whose power? His power. Whose love? His love. Whose mind? His mind. It's not about you. It's not about your achievement, your education, what school you went to. That is irrelevant with God. It is him. He is fulfilling himself as he is risen, glorified in you and me. And that is our deliverance. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So our deliverance and closing of doors into the mind is revealed to us. And how do we know this? Again, let's look at these scriptures that we know so well and have taught on and have them underlined. Romans 12, verse 2. You know this well. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what does God say here? He says it delivers us, or he delivers us, so that we can discern. We can know what is accepted of God, what God accepts. Now we know that God accepts faith, even a mustard seed of faith. We know that. So, but what is the big hindrance to the mind and open doors to the mind? And of course we're dealing at the moment with fear. He says, do not be conformed to this world. And that is the problem.
I don't have an answer for that.
That is the problem. You see, he's not going to have us conform to this world. Living like the world, speaking like the world, acting like the world. And we're still getting deliverance from that. Why do we still at times conform with the world? Because of fear. Fear makes us do it. And this is where God is closing the doors. We'll look at that further on in this teaching. But he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God is renewing the mind. That is the work of the Spirit, if we let him do it. For the purpose that you will prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. And that is relationship. That is what we want to do. That is what love does. If we love the Lord and what he does, then I want to know his will. I want to know what's acceptable to him. I want to please him. That's what love does. And that is what it says it does for you. So the renewing of our mind, the deliverance in our mind, causes us to know what is acceptable to him. Because it's our service, it's what we do. Not out of duty, but out of love, you see. And of course we know that none of this will be done unless we present ourselves upon that altar. But your mind is transformed by the Spirit, so that you can prove what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. Because that's what love does, that's what you want to do. You only settle for the perfect will of God. Now, I assume that we're all in agreement that this today now is the perfect will of God for us. But you get some who are not sure of that. And you get some who don't listen or don't stay with it as they should. And why don't they stay? Because they're not always spirit taught. And why are they not always spirit taught? Because they're still, their hearts in the world. It's with the family, it's with the children, it's with my hobby or my job or whatever. So you cannot be fully spirit taught. There's hindrances. And very often it takes the mercy of God. All of us could have gone that way. Because the world is completely contrary to the wisdom and mind of God. We already read that back to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So it delivers us in which to be able to discern and know what is acceptable to God. Because we're told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. There are a lot of Christians who don't really know that one. But God has revealed that to us by the Spirit, and to live by that principle. What does Colossians have to teach us? We know this, of course, well in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. And this, of course, is speaking where Christ divested himself. And he says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So he says again, set your mind on things above. So you've got to take that initial move. You've got to want to set your mind on things above. And then the Holy Spirit will then start to do that work. And I think it's very important that our mind and heart is set on things above. You cannot set it on this world. No way. And yet, professing Christians still believe the world and the lies that are in the world. We're not to set our mind and heart on those things. You've got to hear what the Spirit is saying. And the reason that they set their minds still on the things of the world is because it's fear that makes them do that. Fear will always get us to compromise, to be a slave, to be in bondage. The enemy's clever. He knows how to hold people. But we know that our Heavenly Father who loves us is setting the captives free. And why does he hold us to the world? Because the world is in fear. So do we want to set our minds on that A world that is in fear and confusion and sin? God forbid. And this is why we don't get free, because there's still attachments with things in the world. And so this is why we have teachings like this, so that God can close these doors. Where? In the mind. You know, as we've been looking at fear, fear is, it's interesting, but it's got two main causes or definitions. And we touched on this last time, but I'm just sort of going over some of this again. But there's an emotion that often comes through distress or something that is dangerous or that can be a threat or something that is evil. And these threats can work in the mind, in the imagination. If we're not sure or we don't feel very safe, then the mind, the imagination starts to work. The enemy's having a go. And this again is where the Lord closes door. And this, of course, is where schizophrenia starts, where they imagine and they hear and they hear voices and so on. The enemy's clever, but the doorkeeper is fear to that. And it often comes and affects through the emotions, or if you've gone through a distressing time, or you've feelings of not safe, or something that is evil, or whatever it is, then the imagination starts, then the voices start, then you start to believe it. The doors open. And many are gripped that way, and all they can do is throw medicine at it. Satan wants to hold us. He wants to hold us so that we are timid. Timidity. Or we're cowardly. We haven't got that boldness as we should. And why? It's because fear. Fear will cause you to shy away. Fear can cause us to shy away from witnessing, from preaching, upholding the truth of God's word, compromising with the family, and so on. And this happens because we sense an impending threat or a danger, whether it's real or in the imagination. Or I'm going to be rejected if I say something about that. Or I'm afraid of the consequences, or the consequences of their action. And sometimes it never actually happens. It's all in the mind, in the imagination. Well, God has to close doors to that. And he is, and he will. He's still working that deliverance in me. But these fears can paralyze and make us ineffective. And hence we become inactive. Now, the early church knew about all of this. So don't feel that, you know, oh gosh, is there any hope for us? How am I going to get delivered from all of this? Because I know how it feels. Well, let's take some comfort. You know this again well, but turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. And we'll look at... We'll go from verse 27. Now, Peter and John have been arrested and they're addressing the Sanhedrin. They're under persecution. They are forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus. So they're really getting threats. And then they start to pray for boldness. I'm actually going to take this up from verse 23 to lead into this of Acts 4. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own companies and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, They raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. Oh, praise God. Listen to this. The first thing they're going, they're praising God. They're praising the majesty, the power of God. He's in control. He's created. He's made everything. Notice how they're getting their deliverance. Notice how they're approaching God. They're not griping and moaning, oh, what are we going to do? You know, the Lord's gone. We're supposed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And here we are. We can't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Not at all. They've come back. And who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did this nation rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to do. So they're appealing to their history. They're appealing to what God has done. Now the Lord, look on their threats and grant it to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They had another filling, another experience. They're dealing with fear here. They know what's trying to attack the minds. And look how they approach this. They're positive. They're in faith. They're not going to take no for an answer. And look what happens in 31. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of God with boldness. How the church needs that in this last days. How FGA needs that as well. And I believe we're on the way as God is dealing with fear. What's happening here? The Spirit of God will take over. And this is why we have to be constantly being filled with the Spirit of God. We're being filled. We are filled. We're being filled. And we can get more experiences. Again, another promise in the Word of God. What does, talking of the Spirit, what does Ephesians 5 and verse 18 tell us? Ephesians 5 and verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he says, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks always to God, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It all goes with it. Be filled with the Spirit, because it is the Spirit that does it. And some of you, bless your heart, you've been trying to do it. You've been trying to fellowship. You've been trying to worship and embrace your brother and sister because you're doing it in fear, unbelief. No, be filled with the Spirit because it is the Spirit within you that does it. Of course, we have to will that and want that, but that is how it works. What does Isaiah say to us? Isaiah 41 and verse 10. You know this very well. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Look what he says here. He's addressing fear. He's talking about fear closing that door. Don't fear. I am with you. Don't even be dismayed, because I am your God, and I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with my right hand. Now, either he said that or he hasn't. Either we believe it or we don't. It's entirely up to us. And that's why, as I bring this to a close, we have to walk humbly before the Lord. We have to mean business with him. You know, when we listen to the word, it doesn't just end when we leave the room. We take it with us. It becomes our meditation, our praying. That's why it's good to take notes down, so that we take it before God, and so that we can talk it out with him. That's also part of our deliverance. Sometimes God's going to watch and see what you do with this word that we hear. But the Spirit will know how to do. You will know what to do. And that is the whole point. But here is how God is closing the door to the mind. How he's dealing with fear. We've seen how he's dealt with fear with all the saints. I'm reminded of Moses when they came out from Egypt. And then Pharaoh was after them with his armies. There must have been fear going on. What are we going to do? How are we going to get over the Red Sea? We're up against a brick wall. God said, "What is that in your hand, Moses?" See, God was dealing with fear that was trying to work. He knew what that rod was capable of doing. And he just trusted God, and God did the rest. And we know the story. One of the great miracles of bringing a nation through water, preserving them, and destroying the army of Pharaoh. But they had to deal with fear. They had to deal with fear in the early church. And they knew exactly what to do. Praising, worshipping God. Talking of his mightiness, his greatness. That is what dispels fear. Because fear is trying to open a door into your mind. That's what it does. That's why I always say there's great deliverance in praise and worship, and we shouldn't be too quick. Give God time. Acknowledge him first. Put him in his rightful place in your mind and thinking, before you then start going into prayer and warfare and supplication and so on. We have to do it the right way. And certainly in Acts 4, they were doing it in the right way, because they were being threatened. The gospel was trying to be stopped there by the powers of darkness. And the powers of darkness don't like what we do. It doesn't like these meetings. It certainly doesn't like FGA and other saints who are going on into the fullness. But guess what? The good news is that Jesus has gone before and prepared the way. And that's why we're overcomers, pressing in. beyond the veil, into the throne of God, into the holiest of holies. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you. You don't give up on us. Even when we're weary or down or we've lost in a mile off, you're still there, encouraging us, helping us. Lord, we're gleaning so much from your word and by the Spirit, Lord. Father, may what we have heard through these two teachings, may we appropriate this. Father, we receive, we claim our healing in the name of Jesus. Whatever doors are still open, Father, in your mercy and grace, close them for your glory, so that we press on into the deeper life that you have for us. And Father, I thank you for this meeting. Bless my brothers and sisters, the blood of Jesus over them. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we have a prayer request for Olive's brother, Rob. Father, we lift him before you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we come against this cancer. And we curse this now, Satan, in the mighty name of Jesus. We confess the blood of Jesus over this man right now in Jesus' name. For Lord, you have triumphed at Calvary. You took all our sin and iniquity. You took it and you bore it, Father, upon the cross. And that by your stripes we are healed. And we confess that over him, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask that you will give your ministering angels charge over him, ministering that healing to his whole man, to his mind, body, and spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.